What kind of privileges will we have in heaven? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're currently in a series that I'm personally very excited about. One of the reasons is because it's based on a book that I wrote called Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey. So in today's discussion, we're going to talk about the kinds of privileges that overcomers can expect when they arrive in the kingdom of heaven. Bob and Sean generously invited me to come have a discussion with them about this topic. So here's our discussion on rights.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're here in the studio with Lucas. Can you say hi?
Hey, everybody.
And we're going over Lucas's new book, Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey, available now at our bookstore. We've been going over the different types of rewards. Now, we've been covering rewards over the last 10, 11, 12 episodes or so. And now we're getting into the heart of the matter, where it is, what exactly are these rewards that we're supposed to be getting from Jesus? Last episode, we talked about riches. In this episode, we want to talk about rights. You have a whole chapter about that in your book, Lucas. So what is a right?
Yeah, this category, I would make a synonym of privileges. What we seem to see in Scripture is that there are certain things that all believers will have access to and certain privileges that all believers will have in the kingdom of heaven. For instance, like what we see in Revelation 21, I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Now, this has a lot of picturesque wording that we relate to having everlasting life. However, it does seem like what he's saying here is that those who are in the kingdom will have access to be able to drink from the water of life. However, that's a privilege for everybody, but it seems that there are privileges that are reserved just for those who are overcomers, those who were faithful during their life. And so some of those that we see show up, especially in the first chapters of Revelation, where we see some of the overcomer passages. And here's one, for example. Jesus says, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God." And I'd have to admit, we don't...
What verse is that?
I'm sorry, that's Revelation 3:12.
3:12.
And we have ideas on what this means, but basically the point that I want to make on this and these others is that this is a privilege. This is some special experience that the one who overcomes, the one who's faithful in this life, will experience that not all, it seems, will experience.
Now, this isn't like Lot's wife.
I was just going to say, I don't want to be Lot's wife. It doesn't matter where
she
it is.
She was a pillar of salt. That's a little different.
She was.
This is a pillar in the temple.
This is metaphorical.
And this is normally taken as some sort of figure of speech, but that figure of speech has some underlying sense to it. So what is that sense, Lucas, then?
Well, you know, I would connect it to what we see in Galatians. When we see the word pillar, Paul says that he went to Jerusalem, and he talks about a certain small group of the apostles who he says were pillars of the church.
Right.
And so he didn't mean they were literally ivory statuesque beams that were holding up a building. He meant that they were important. They had a role that was central to the purpose of the church. And so what I see in this is that those who overcome in this life, those who are faithful, will have some central role in what he calls the temple. Now, we know in Revelation that the New Jerusalem in the eternal state, actually, its temple is God himself. And so this has all kinds of interesting and colorful ideas that come with it, that the intimacy we have. But the point that I'm trying to make at this juncture is that this is a special, very intimate experience, a privilege for those who overcome that not all will have.
Special aspect of worship.
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, what's another right? Because one of the things that we were saying is that, listen, the kingdom is going to be a real kingdom, literal kingdom on earth. There's going to be an economy. There's going to be rulers. There's going to be nations that are being ruled. We're all going to have work to do, vocations. God created man to work, and that's going to continue on to eternity. But there's also going to be a certain level of inequality in the kingdom. Some people get to rule, some people won't. Some people will get privileges that other people will not have. So give us another example of a right that only some people are going to have and others won't.
Here's a really great example. Blessed are those, this is Revelation 22:14. Blessed are those who do his commands, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. We see two rights there, two privileges. And what it connects those privileges to is something really pretty surprising. Blessed are those who keep his commandments. Now, we know that we do not get into the kingdom of heaven by keeping commandments. I mean, Paul and really all the apostles taught us that. Jesus taught that in the Gospel of John. And so we know that we don't get into the kingdom of heaven by keeping commandments, but there are certain privileges that those who do keep the commandments get. And the two that he mentions here are having access to the tree of life, and those same people will also be able to enter through the gates into the city.
So what does that mean, Bob, exactly? What is this tree of life?
Well, in Revelation 22 and verse 2, he's talking about this water of life that's flowing from the New Jerusalem, flowing from the throne of Jesus. It says, in the middle of the street on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So the right to the tree of life is the right to these 12 fruits. And evidently what it's saying is certain believers called overcomers, called victorious believers, are going to eat of this fruit. And evidently I would assume what this is going to do is that it's going to enhance the life. So the person will have an enhanced ability to glorify Christ. And the non-overcomers will not be able to eat of this fruit. And so they'll be excluded.
Do you think they'll be sharing?
Yeah, that's
a
good question.
Can I share a little bit?
I know. You're going to share with me because you're going to be one of the overcomers and you'll be sharing.
But I hope so.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be a sharing kind of situation because these privileges seem to be reserved, all the ones. And how about the one about entering the New Jerusalem? What is that about? What did it say again?
You can enter the gates.
Enter the gates.
And may enter through the gates into the city.
Yeah, now that one's interesting because there's going to be how many gates? 12 gates, right? We're told at the beginning of Revelation 21, there'll be three gates on each side, north, south, east, west, for the 12 tribes of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have these gates, and evidently not every believer is going to be able to enter by these gates.
Do they get catapulted over the walls? I mean, what's the other option?
Have you seen that movie? What's it called where they go clop, 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 clop?
And Monty Python.
They're searching for something, the Grail.
Yeah, yeah.
And didn't they throw something over a cow over the fence or something?
I don't remember. But is that what you're saying? This is new revelation.
No,
this is cutting edge biblical. No. So
John,
we get catapulted over the gates.
Not gonna be it's pole vaulting over. No, I think there's going to be a subway underneath or something. And a lot of people will go in that way, or they'll go in by some kind of monorail. But the people who go through the gates will be the overcomers. And remember in the Old Testament, the gates were a place of honor. Remember in the book of Ruth, when Boaz is redeeming her, he goes to the gates.
Mm, right. That's where the elders gathered. That's where judgments were made. That's where all the big business deals. That was the place you wanted to be.
And there's lots of references to Jesus and talking about how he is going to rule the gates of his enemies.
Mm.
He's going to rule the strongholds of the enemy. So these gates then are figuratively places of honor.
Yeah.
And only those who are overcomers are going to be able to go through. So I take it that, first of all the non-glorified saints won't be able to go through there. And among us who are glorified, now this is getting into a whole other subject, so we might want to talk about this later. But among the glorified saints, only the overcomers are going to be able to enter through the gates.
So basically, we're thinking, people might make the mistake of thinking this just has to do with entrances and exits. But in an ancient mindset, the gate is where all the authority figures gathered to make big decisions, to make big business deals, that's where the leadership developed. And it would make sense that only people who are ruling with Christ are allowed going to the gates.
Right.
And it would also be a place where a triumphal entry would happen.
Oh, that's a good
point. If a general came back from war or some great political victory had been won, there would be some type of parade, and it would inevitably lead through the gate, the main gate, the most beautiful gate of the city, because it makes an amazing picturesque scene to see that victorious general or king, whatever, coming through that gate. What makes sense to me, if we are able in our glorified bodies to do what Jesus did, which is appear and disappear in different places, then glorified people will not need a gate to enter the city. They can appear where they need to, theoretically, you know. And
now there's a thought.
Yeah, so I don't see why entering and exiting would ever need to actually happen physically. I think it's ceremony. There's something about entering that has to do with some type of ceremony or parade. Just a guess. And we have to admit, these are speculative ideas. We don't know because there's so little given, but that makes sense to me.
But it is some kind of right or
it
privilege.
It is something. It's a privilege of some kind. Yeah.
Now, do you have any other?
The other one that we'll talk about more in another section is one we've already talked about. If we endure, we shall reign with him. Reigning with Christ is a huge privilege. It's not something that everyone will receive, because the second half of the verse says, if we deny him, he will also deny us. And so this is a privilege that some will have and others will be denied.
When we think of the coming kingdom, I hope we think of the fact that there will be many things which we all share in common. All believers will be in the kingdom. All believers will enjoy and have life forever and joy forever. However, we also hopefully realize that some will have a more abundant experience than others. Some will rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. Those seats are already taken. Others will rule over the various nations and the various cities. And there are lots of privileges which come to the overcomer. And all of us should be thrilled by these possible privileges that Christ extends to us as a possible future for us if we are found faithful.
A big thanks to Sean and Bob for letting me sit in on that really fun discussion, some of which is speculative, no doubt, but very motivating nonetheless. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on these subjects. Well, if you would, I would highly encourage you to get a copy of my book. You can get it at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Click on the button that says store and you can get your very own copy of Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey. Now, while you're there, I would highly suggest you spend a little time looking at our free resources as well. You can get subscribed to our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, beautifully laid out, and it'll show up right in your mailbox after you're subscribed. In addition to this, you can get subscribed to our daily blog posts. Notifications will show up in your inbox, and they are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture. Also, you ought to get subscribed to our free podcast. It's a digital version of this show, and it'll show up right on your device each time we publish a new show. But you can also go back and listen to previous episodes as well. I hope you'll take advantage of all of these free resources and much more right there on the site, faithalone.org. Now, while you're on the site, you might like to become a financial partner. If that's the case, there's 2 things I want you to know. All gifts are tax deductible, and they are very much appreciated because they help us continue doing the ministry work that we're currently doing. And we're very excited about that. You can find out about that and much more at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now, next time on the program, we're going to talk about something that might surprise you. Recognition. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.